sure. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms. We will be towards the beginning of the book of Psalms here in just a few minutes. I'm going to do something a little bit unusual this morning. We have been working through this series on lament. I want to just quickly review some things that we've worked through already. We talked about the power of lament is the opportunity to express the sorrow we feel while also anchoring our hearts in the truth that we believe. It's pretty incredible to me how God has orchestrated this timing of these messages around so many difficult things that our people are enduring. And we do feel sorrow, and yet we're anchored to the truth of what God actually says in His Word. We talked about the steps to lament. Lament is a prayer that takes faith to pray, by the way. It's a prayer that consists of complaint and request and trust. Not always in that order. We'll see some psalms that look a little bit differently. So lament's a prayer that expresses complaint, request, and trust. When I cry out to God and tell Him exactly what I am feeling, it helps. Honestly, praying this way recognizes that pain and suffering often create difficult emotions that are not based upon truth, but feel true nonetheless at the time that I'm going through it. We talked about lament being mourning, but it wasn't just mourning for death. It can be mourning for loss. It can be mourning for sin. It is a form of worship. We looked at Psalms 13 as we worked through this idea of complaint and request and trust. We trust in His mercy. We trust in His salvation. We trust in singing. Though we don't feel like it, I will sing. I'm not in a trusting mood, but I will trust. I'm not in a rejoicing mood, but I will rejoice. I'm not in a singing mood, but I will sing. Just this week, a particular family member who is going through a difficulty sent us a lament. They didn't call it that, but that's exactly what it was as they went through these difficult times. And it was interesting to me that it had all three steps of this without them even knowing that it needed, if you will, to have all three of these steps. Then we looked at Psalms 42, a platform and not a pit. Lament works for someone genuinely wanting answers from God as they search after God, as a deer panteth after the water brooks. Lament helps me deal with sorrow. Lament helps me deal with doubts. What do I do when the doubts creep into my mind that this is not exactly what's happening? Lament allows me to pour out my soul to God. Lament deals with what my mind is saying and feeling versus what my faith says. We talked about in Psalms 42. Lament teaches me to praise even during sorrow and pain. Number 7, lament helps me to focus on what I know about God from the past. And number 8, lament takes me to the source of my strength, even with questions. Where are you, God, in this circumstance? We talked about Job a little bit through that process. And then lament recognizes that others, especially enemies, but sometimes friends, will ask, where's your God? What's going on with God? Why is He gone from you? And we ended that aspect of it. And then last week, we talked about the request aspect. What should I request? Well, we talked about, we rise up, O Lord. We want God to do something. We want God to grant help. We want God to remember His character. Okay, and we've got a book on order that's coming that, Lord willing, we'll give you here soon on the character of God. And it's just going to help remind us of these truths. What do I know about my God? Because it helps us to go back to those anchors. Now, this is what I know about God. Therefore, I'm not going to move in that. Now, let justice be done, as we talked a little bit last week. Don't remember our sin, Lord. We don't want you to deal with us according to our sin. We've repented of that. We talked about restore us. Turn us again, O Lord. We talked about last week, don't be silent. Lord, we want you to listen to us and what we're saying. We also talked about part of the request is to teach me. Lord, through this process, teach me what I need to know. So many times when we go through difficulty, our focus is on getting done with the difficulty. I want to get out of this. Lord, what can I do to resolve this so that I'm no longer in the difficulty? Sometimes God wants us to learn through the difficulty, to stop and say, okay, Lord, what are you wanting to teach me? Rather than getting rid of this, what can I do to learn through the process? How can I just walk in the flame? And then vindicate me. It's not wrong to say, God, would you vindicate me in these circumstances? Now, this morning, in the few minutes that we have left, I want you to do something. This is a little unusual. Those of you that are watching live at home, I want to encourage you to do this as well. I'm going to give you a number of Psalms, and what I'd like for you to do is work through them yourself, okay? And I'd like for you to identify those three areas, okay? Where's the complaint in here? Where's the request? And where's the trust? Now, if you remember, I use Psalms 13 because it's the clearest. Complaint verses 1 and 2, request 3 and 4, trust 5 and 6. Not every psalm is that simple. Matter of fact, sometimes in one verse, you can see a complaint and a trust all wrapped in together, okay? But rather than just thinking through this, I want you to actually do something with it, okay? So, you could take whatever psalm you want. I'm going to give you some, and I'd like for us to take a few minutes, and then we'll share some together. If you would like, say, here's where I see the complaint, here's the request, here's the trust. Okay, so here are some psalms that you can look at. Psalms 6, Psalms 10, Psalms 22. What's interesting about Psalms 22 is Jesus uses this lament on the cross in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Psalms 38, Psalms 51, Psalms 102, Psalms 130, Psalms 143. Now, not only would I like for you to try to identify the three areas, the complaint, the request, and the trust, but if you would identify what is happening in the psalm. Now, you don't have a ton of books in front of you, but is it a psalm of repentance? In other words, God, I want you to forgive me, because some of these are pretty clearly exactly that. Or is it a psalm of, Lord, I want you to vindicate me, or whatever. When you see that aspect of request, you'll be able to identify what's really happening in the psalm. Okay, so we're going to take some time here just quietly before the Lord to work through some of these psalms and get some of that, and then I'd love for us to be able to share some together. Again, they're not going to be as precise as Psalms 13 will be, but I think it'll help you to work through some of these. Those of you at home, you're welcome to do that as well. If you'd like to text me or something, we might be able to share some of those a little bit also, okay? How many of you would say, I need some more time working through my psalm? Okay, a few of you? Okay, we'll give you a few more minutes here. Okay, if we can have a couple of ushers to come so that you can hand these out to folks that would like to be involved. Nick has four, Rob has three, just so the men in the sound booth know, okay? Anybody work through Psalm 6 and would like to share with us? Okay, Jessica, and then Dale, we'll get to you.
All right, so the complaint was... I start with requests. Was verse 1 and 2.
Okay.
That's right. Verse 3 through 7 was the complaint. And verse 8 through 10 was the trust.
Okay, good.
And that was David asking God to save him from the death from the people.
Okay, good. Excellent. Dale, Psalm 6.
The imprecatory verse was verse 10, and that's good for me because my first impulse is to imprecate.
Okay, okay, good. So let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Yep, so, okay, Carrie, you have Psalm 6 as well? Okay, great.
I thought also that maybe verse 4 was a request. He asked him to return and save.
Okay.
And then his purpose maybe was not to remember his sin, like let it end, and then to vindicate him before his enemies.
Yeah, okay. It was interesting to me as I worked through this psalm that he intertwined some things. Sometimes his character, he would bring out God's character. For instance, in verse 4, for thy mercy's sake, he draws that character of God. For we shall give you thanks, verse 5, and so forth. So some of that mixed in there. But that's excellent. Okay, someone with Psalms 10. Anybody do Psalms 10 that would like to share with us? Okay. Okay, Brother Phil, they're coming here.
This psalm is talking about the poor being oppressed, and it really goes along with the Sunday school lesson that we have today. But I think verses 1 through 11 are his complaint. It says, the wicked through pride persecute the poor. God's judgments are out of his sight, and he murders the innocent. And his request is in 12 through 15. He calls on God to arise and to lift up his hand and forget not the humble and to break the arm of the wicked. And then in 16 through 18, he's trusting. He's calling the Lord is his king, and he's heard his desire, and that the humble humble man may no more be oppressed. So I think it goes along with what we're about to go into in our Sunday school really
It does, really, that verse 18, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may be no more oppressed. Yeah, excellent. Okay, anyone else work through 10? Okay. What about 22? Figured some people would jump on 22. Anybody go to 22 that would like to share? Okay. All right. How about 38? Okay, Lisa, 38, come in here.
Is it on? Okay. most of 38 was complaint, a lot of it.
Yes.
Arrows were sticking in him, no soundness in my flesh, no rest in my bones because of my sin. Mm-hmm. So that's why all of this happened. And it just goes on and on. But in verse 15, his trust says, in thee do I hope, and thou wilt hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then the request in verses 16 through 22 talk about, hear me, forsake me not, be not far from me, and help me.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. Yeah, that's it's an interesting text because David is dealing with his sin, and but you can see all three aspects of this, though, intermingled there together. Anybody else with Psalms 38? All right, Psalms 51. Anyone do Psalms 51, work through that? Okay, Stephen?
So Psalms 51, he has a bunch of requests all throughout there. But his complaint, I think, is his sin, that he's a sinner and that he sinned, and that's broken his fellowship with God. And
yes.
he's feeling unclean and separate from God. And so in verse 5, it talks about that too. He was in iniquity, and all throughout while he's asking God to forgive him of his sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his complaint to God. And then his request is that God would forgive him, have mercy on me, make me hear joy and gladness. Open all throughout, he's just requesting God to give him that forgiveness.
Yes.
And his trust is in God that he will forgive him.
Yes.
Even in verse 1, it says, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness.
Yes.
And thy tender mercies, you will forgive, I will be clean.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, it says, you will be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes to God and realizes that he sinned and asks him to forgive him, then he's trusting God that he will do that.
Yeah. What's interesting about Psalms 51 is he starts off with declaring God's mercy as a characteristic, which is wonderful because he's going to call on that mercy, right? That steadfast covenant love. Remember that Hebrew word is hesed. It's a incredible word that God can only be God. Okay, and that sounds crazy, but it's trusting that God will continue to be God in that. So someone else with Psalms 51? Okay, yes, Martha.
Like what you said, he starts in verse 1 with his trust.
Yes.
He says, according to thy loving kindness and unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. And then he goes right into his request, which is blot out my transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
It's when David had sinned with Bathsheba.
Yes.
He's being confronted. And I think it's because he had a guilty conscience. And so then he goes about his complaint, describes how he's feeling because of his sin.
Right.
Which is the result of a guilty conscience. And then I think he ends it again with some more trust in God.
Yes. Amen. Wonderful. Okay, we only have just a few more minutes. Anybody want to share a quick thought about 77? Anybody with 77? 102. Okay, Brother Raphael, they're coming. Anybody else with 102? Get the microphone to you, okay? And then if you could be thinking 130, we'll give someone next to 130. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, 102, the requests right there in verse 1 and 2, hear my prayer,
mm-hmm.
And also hide not my face, also incline my ears were the key words there for requests. And
yes.
Then the complaint was 3 through 11. Some of the keywords I got there was consumed, burned, smitten, withered, mm-hmm. groaning,
yes.
Reproach. Those things were written there as the complaint. And for the trust, started from 12 and kind of near the end, it seemed like it mingled with trust, but also complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the words there I got were endure, mercy of the Lord, God would build. Regard my prayer,
yep.
Not despise the prayer,
yeah.
And then also then verse 19 and 20, he looked down, and it seemed like he did a comparison there on verse 26 and 27. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure.
Mm-hmm.
And then 27, but thou art the same; the year shall have no end.
Yeah,
so,
amen.
It's just a beautiful psalm.
It really is a beautiful psalm. So 130. Anybody do okay, Tria? 130.
The first verse talks about the complaint. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, and then he goes very quickly into request and asking the Lord to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seemed to me like the rest of the song was talking about his trust, that there's forgiveness with God, that yes. He waits, his soul waits for God. But what really jumped out at me was verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And with the Lord there is mercy. And just the knowledge that the psalmist could turn from his own lament to exhorting other people to trust in the Lord,
yes.
even though he was still taking by faith that he himself was going to be helped, was encouraging others. That just really spoke to me, because a lot of times we hear the philosophy that you just slap a smile on your face because God gives you joy, because that's what's going to draw others to God, is this just consistent happiness and victory. But I think that people need a God that can help them, God for imperfect people.
Absolutely.
And that instead of a God for perfect people.
Yes, agreed.
And that he can, in the middle of his lament, be exhorting others to trust God too. That just really spoke to me.
Amen. Yes, I love that idea. There's the word but in verse 4, and then the hope, the mercy, the redemption, plenteous, tremendous. Okay, 143. Anybody? Okay, Brother Steve, Brother Jeremiah, and Miss Amanda. Quickly, we'll have to do these. Okay, Brother Steve.
He opens with a request and then makes his complaint. But one of the things that has stuck out to me in this psalm for some time is his requests have a lot to do with his relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Deliver me. And that's a request about from his enemies.
Yes.
Then he says, teach me to do thy will, and then lead me into the land of uprightness. Mm-hmm. Quicken me for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness bring my soul out of trouble. But it had to do with his relationship with God.
What I thought was interesting about 143 is the number of things we went through. What should we pray for? What are our requests? There are 3 or 4 or 5 of them in this chapter alone. I didn't write them all down. So, Brother Jeremiah, and then Nick, if you'll give that microphone to Amanda, we'll be ready.
His complaint, not very much, but I think that gives the context. His enemy has persecuted, mm-hmm. smitten, and then he says, I thought this was interesting, I am overwhelmed.
Yes.
My heart is desolate, my spirit faileth. And then his trust.
Hold on just a second. How many of you have ever felt that way before? Yeah. I'm overwhelmed, my heart, absolutely. This is why this is so important for us to realize, these are psalms of great men and women of God. And yet that's the way they felt in this time. So go ahead.
So he goes from complaint, and this is all jumbled because it's poetry, but I meditate on thy works, I muse on the works of thy hands, I stretch forth my hands to thee, mm-hmm. my soul thirsts for thee, I lift my soul to thee, I flee to thee to hide me.
Yeah.
And that has to do with that soul being smitten, his life being taken, and then his requests, there's tons of them, but give ear in thy faithfulness, answer me in thy righteousness, hear me speedily, hide not thy face, amongst the things that he said, teach me, lead me, quicken me, bring my soul out of trouble, cause me to hear thy loving kindness, cause me to know wherein I should walk, and deliver me.
Amen.
And at the very end, the last phrase he says is, for I am thy servant.
Yeah. Amen. Wonderful. Amanda?
The first thing I noticed was that he starts out his request with, hear my prayer, O Lord. He's automatically saying, please listen to me.
Right.
And he goes on requesting for a couple of verses and then complains. And like Jeremiah, it was neat to see that he was overwhelmed.
Yes.
And then he goes into trust for a couple of verses, remembering what God has already done, and then for the rest of the chapter, he kind of goes back and forth between requesting and trusting. It was interesting to see how he was requesting because it hadn't happened yet, but in the midst of it, he was still trusting God.
Amen. Yeah, what I loved about several of these psalms is the intertwining, because that's where we really are. We're like, Lord, I know that you can do this because you're merciful. God, are you really going to help me in this situation? It's that constant back and forth as he is. His heart's overwhelmed. It really is something else. Brother Kevin, hand that Brother Kevin there before he busts, and then we'll be done after this. All right? I can see it just bowling up in him. So go ahead, Brother Kevin.
They've covered it so well, but I just want to make a comment on 143. That I've
put that a little closer to your mouth.
I just want to make the follow-up on 143 because of the relevance to trouble and things like that. The vast majority of his requests, as Steve pointed out, is personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about him growing in grace.
Yes.
And that's the point of a lot of these troubles and tribulations that God brings our way, as James makes clear.
Yes.
And Job makes clear.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of pining and complaining about woe is me and get them for me and get revenge, he really focuses on, Lord, what are you doing and what do I need to be and make me that person? And in that little tiny bit of, as Dale said, imprecatory prayer against the enemies.
Right.
But I was just struck by the frustration of, what do you want me to be and how long it takes for that answer to come?
Right.
Because of me, not because of God. But I'm intrigued because that was David's focus as well.
Amen. Pastor Surrett sent in Psalms 10, complaint verses 1 through 11 in verse 13, request verses 12 and 15, trust 14, 16, and 18. And then my parents worked through a number of Psalms as well. Complaint in verses 3 through 11 from 102, and request verses 1 and 2, and then trust verses 12 and 13. So I appreciate that those that interacted online too. This is good. I want us to not just listen to biblical truth, but I want us to apply it. Here's how it helps us in everyday living. And I hope you'll do this as you work through Psalms. It's been amazing how much I have picked up and even in my life used. It's just been incredible what God has done as it's become part of who I am, so forth. So we're a little bit late, but let's pray quickly and then be dismissed to Sunday school. We probably have to start a few minutes late here. Father, thank you for your wonderful word and how it meets us right where we are. When we are overwhelmed, when we feel like I'm just drowning, and yet the biblical writers felt the same way, and we can trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for that. And we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Lord bless.